Okay, so up until now we've been talking about Isurim of Shiva, and we really have the last Isur of Shiva, which is really going to be a bridge into the Isurim of Shloshim, and that's the Isur called the Kibbutz. So the Gemara tells us that an Avol during the week of Shiva is not permitted to be involved in acts of kibbutz. Kibbutz literally means the washing, laundering. I'm not going to discuss the etymology of laundering. We did that already with Yotzei. But the Gemara says that an Avol is not permitted to be mechabes during the week of Shiva. And then the Gemara adds on that that's the bridge to Shloshim. The Gemara says after Shiva, so kibbutz is permissible, but giutz is prohibited. And the question becomes, what in the world is the difference practically between kibbutz and giutz? And that's going to impact upon exactly where Shiva ends and, in fact, where Shloshim begins. So what exactly is the difference between the Lashon of Kibbutz and Giyutz? They both involved some kind of a cleaning of preparing of clothing. There was a major machlokes and we showed them what the difference is. And the Ramban explains that Kibbutz refers to washing clothing, and Giyutz refers to what we would probably call ironing and pressing, that kind of activities. The Ramban doesn't exactly describe an iron, but he describes taking a big stone and pressing out the folds of the clothing, what we would call the modern-day equivalent of pressing or ironing. The Ramban explains to the Gemara that kibbutz is a problem even in Shiva. After Shiva, all washing of clothing is permissible, but the ironing, the pressing, that kind of a preparing of clothing would be problematic for the duration of Shloshim. Tosfos quotes from one of the Talmud from the Rival, says no, that both kibbutz and giyutz involve the cleaning of clothing. The kibbutz refers to washing clothing without anything else, just water alone, and giyutz refers to using detergent. The Baal HaTosfos just try to give you ingredients, what exactly detergent was in the olden days, but the bottom line is the modern day equivalent of what we would call detergent. So major machlokes we showed him, just practically, what do the terms mean? According to the Ramban, it's washing versus ironing, and according to the Riva, it's washing without water, in contrast to washing with water. So this, of course, makes a big difference in the halacha for us. So how do we paskin in this machlokes? So
most
of no, kibbutz, the first process is even water alone, and if you want to use soap with detergent, that's giyutz, which is a problem even for the entire shloshim. So how do we pass kim halacha? So me'ika mikra din, we probably accept the view of the Ramban that after Shiva is over, so all kind of washing clothing is permissible. The only thing that's also after Shiva is ironing and pressing clothing. When we say that pressing is also after Shiva, that giyutz is also after Shiva, according to the Ramban, the Ramban is quick to point out what that means is as follows. That means to wear freshly pressed clothing. A person wants to sit around and iron clothing in the middle of Shloshim. There's nothing else with that. The Isser is to wear the iron clothing. This is unlike the Isser during Shiva. During Shiva, not only is one not allowed to wear begadim mechubasim, just wash clothing, but one isn't even allowed to do acts of kibbutz itself. The reason being that an avol is not allowed to do malacha. So there really, it's a little bit of a confusion of terminology that Ramban tries to clarify. That Chazal say Shiva, kibbutz is aser, and Shloshim, only giyutz is aser, they don't exactly mean the same thing. But during Shiva, so it's aser not only to wash clothing, it's also to wear freshly washed clothing. During Shloshim, there's nothing aser about ironing, but it's also to wear pre-ironed, pre-pressed clothing. So that's the coin to Ramban. So it comes out according to Ramban that as soon as Shiva is over, so then putting away the issues of ironing or anything, so then everything is okay. Everything would be fine. All kind of washing is at the gomer after Shiva.
How does Ramban wash without
detergent
during Shiva?
Washing without, I think there would also be a coin to Ramban. There's no difference with detergent without. It's all the same thing according to the Ramban. So Tosfos quotes this opinion of the Riva, which Tosfos is not even sure that it's correct. And most of the Rishonim probably did not buy into this opinion of the Riva, but the Ramo writes that the Minigan Ashkenazi communities has come to be cheshish for the Riva Shita. What does that mean practically? So the Ramo says what that means is that even after Shiva is over, not only that we refrain from wearing meguhotzim, but we refrain from wearing mechubasim as well. One shouldn't be wearing freshly washed clothing. So basically it means that the whole month of Shloshim, so any wearing of anything that was just washed in the washing machine with detergent would be a problem. So the Ramo writes that since this is really a das yochid, we don't really pass like this interpretation. So therefore the midi became as follows, that that as long as the oval is not wearing it right out of the machine, right out of the tub with the soap, if somebody else wore it for a short period in between, so that's no longer considered to be wearing a begadim mechubasim. If this was a real din, it sounds like we wouldn't be so quick to be making on this. But since it's only a minig anyway, it's only a deference to a one minority view of the rishonim, which usually make a bubble. We usually don't walk around collecting chumras in the chazavelos, but for some reason this chumra stuck with us. So there are more rights. Therefore, we're very, very lenient, and we let a non oval wear the clothing for a short time before, and that would be okay. So this is the source for the practice that people actually observe during shloshim, that we tell Avelim during the shloshim they really shouldn't be wearing freshly washed clothing. They should have somebody else wear the clothing a little bit on their behalf. Does this apply to all kind of clothing? That's the Pesach Teshuva writes, that this doesn't apply to what's called Big Day Zeya. That Big Day Zeya are clothing that become dirty all the time. Underwear, socks, things that you constantly have to wash. So those kinds of things were never included in this minig. And the Pesach Teshuva says not only were they not included in this minig, they're not even included in the Isser of the Din of Kibbutz during Shiva. And the reason being, says the Pesach Teshuva, is because this is a kula of istinus, the same way we saw when it came to the prohibitions of washing. So if a person is very delicate and it's going to bother them, they're going to get a rash, they're going to complain if they don't take a shower for a week. So then the Mishnah says in Brachos that an istinus is permitted to bathe even during Shiva, because the Suri Avelus was supposed to minimize pleasure, they were supposed to minimize comfort, they're not supposed to cause physical pain. So the Mishnah says, therefore, a person who is an istinus can take a shower. So the Pesach Teshuva writes that a person is an istinus to wear the same dirty underwear for a week, or wear the same dirty socks for a week. So things that are Big Day Zeya, one is permitted to change, and if necessary, one is permitted to wash. Those were never included in this whole concept of halacha. Then the Pesach Teshuva quotes from one of the Acharonim as a strange lush, and he says, how come nobody else said this before me? So I'm writing in the 1700s. Because the veil's been around for a long time, how come nobody says this? With Gemara, the Rishon, nobody says this distinction called Big Day Zeya. So he writes, because Mirov Pshituso, he says, it's so obvious, anyone could have figured this out on their own. I don't know how to figure it out, but anyone could have figured it out on their own that they had to go to switch underwear and socks, things like that. None of these did, and none of these men had to apply. So it's based on this Pesach Teshuva, which is pretty much the way Hilchos Shloshim plays out with Zman Hazeh, that we let people during Shloshim, we let them wash their underwear, their socks, anything that's a Big Day Zeya is permissible. Those things which are not Big Day Zeya, so then we recommend that in deference to the Minhag of the Ramah and the Riva, that somebody should wear it for a short amount of time. Also, we have to see what's called Big Day Zeya. Okay, so we still have some of the, no pun intended, there aren't some details. Okay, trying to figure out what exactly is included in Big Day Zeya and whatnot. So we're going to work with the parameters of Big Day Zeya up in this. So the truth is that most of us are familiar with this halacha / minhag, not so much from this Ramah talked about in the Shloshim. Most of us are familiar from the dinim and the minhagim relating to the 9 days. The Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Tainis that there's an issa with the Rabbanon called Shavu Shechab Tishbav. If you have a Shavu Shechab Tishbav, also l'chaber l'chabes. You're not permitted to do clothes, not permitted to do laundering during the week that Tishbav falls out in. Actually, it's Machlokes HaRishon about this year whether there even is a Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, because this year the quirk of the calendar is Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av is on a Shabbos, it's pushed off until Sunday. So some of the Rishonim say, so it's a Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av the whole week before, because the 9th day of Av is on Shabbos. That means the whole week from Sunday to Shabbos beforehand is the Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av with all these surim of that period of time. Another Rishonim say no. Another Rishonim say that since Tisha B'Av is not observed on Shabbos, it's pushed off until Sunday, so then the Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av is only that one day Sunday, which is basically meaningless because it's Tisha B'Av anyway. So there is no Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av for this year. So that's a question in the Shulchan Aruch B'Chav and the Ramah. Is there even such a thing called the Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av this year? But on a regular year, so you have the unique status in Halacha called Shavu Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. Besides that, so there are some dinim that have availed us that begin from Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara speaks about Shenichnas Avimata B'Simcha. Certain things you're not allowed to do from Rosh Chodesh, but the Isurim of washing clothing do not start from Rosh Chodesh Mikra Din. That's a much later minig. It's a minig that the Ramah quotes, a minig of Ashkenazim, to refrain from doing laundry for the entire period of time, beginning from Rosh Chodesh Av. So in the sugyas of the 9 days, so the post can point out that this Ramah comes back to life. The Ramah back from Shloshim makes its reappearance here as well. In the 9 days, according to Aminig, we don't wear any newly fresh clothing. So therefore, what we do is we have somebody else put it on beforehand. The problem is, who's going to put it on before it? Inoch has avelos, so Reuven's an avelos, nobody else is an avelos, so somebody else can put on the clothing. For the 9 days, nobody can put it on. Everyone's an avelos, so who's going to put it on? So that's what the post can point out. So you have to put it on yourself before the 9 days starts. So thus started the famous minhag of the camps. You do all your laundry beforehand, then you start putting on multiple pairs of everything right before Rosh Chodesh, just to fulfill that minhag of the Ramah. So that minhag tucked away Inoch has avelos to the Ramah, found its way back to more practical cases in terms of the 9 days. So there also the Pesukim point out that the minhag of the 9 days is no more chomer than the dinim of shloshim. So just as by shiv and shloshim the tshuva is accepted la halacha, the big day zeya are excluded from this whole thing, so too in the 9 days big day zeya are excluded as well. Therefore there's no need to try on underwear and socks, undershirts, things like that before Rosh Chodesh, because mikra, then you're allowed to put those things on. There's nothing else about that. Where exactly you drew the line? What's considered to be big days? Yes, every summer the same machlokes in camp. Every summer, Rabbi Willing would announce that he thinks that shirts bezmanazeh are considered to be big days, because people either do or should be changing the shirts, especially in the summertime, fairly often. So he thought that shirts qualify as big days today. And Rav Shimon Ida, who was the one who, his farm were the ones that convey all the Menhagim and all the Catskills camps, so he was assuming that shirts are not considered to be big days there. So Yesh V'yesh. So there were different people. Some people put on all the white shirts or their colored shirts before Chodesh, and others are making. But other kinds of clothing, such as pants, skirts, or jackets, most people don't wear jackets except for Shabbos anyway, which the Menhagim don't apply. So one should try to put on before Chodesh. But the underwear things like that would not be included. It's based on this that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Uchas Tisha B'Av that whenever you're not allowed to wash clothing, you shouldn't get new clothing either. Spending new clothing, that's worse than wearing. It's worse than wearing a newly washed clothing. Wearing a newly made clothing, that's for sure a problem. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes, that one is not supposed to be buying and wearing new clothing during either Shabbat Tisha B'Av for the 9 days, whatever you have been talking about. But Lechora, just as the Pesach Shuvah Nuchas Avelos writes that this din wouldn't apply to Big Day Zeya, so Mustama, the buying of new clothing, also wouldn't apply to Big Day Zeya. First, a chacham ain't a berosha. First, try to plan in advance, not to have to buy new underwear during the 9 days. But let's say a person's mamish stuck, he's in a place, he has mamish no underwear with him, so the chayr should be okay to buy underwear. You buy underwear, zachin luch a Big Day Zeya, well, what was that? So that would be permissible. So I once had a rely in the school. I've told them this story many times. When I flew 1 year to head an NCSY group in Munich for Tisha B'Av. So I flew from Eretz Yisrael. I flew from Eretz Yisrael to Barcelona to Munich, and my suitcase only flew with me to Barcelona and kind of got stuck there for a couple of weeks. So I arrived in Munich at about 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon, right before Tisha B'Av, to the realization that I had mamish nothing. I had zero. I didn't have anything except my tefillin, pretty much. I had nothing with me. So I had to go buy underwear. So I was walking around the streets of Munich at Erev Tisha B'Av, buying underwear and undershirts and socks just for the next 2 days. So I remember thinking to myself, this is mamish. This is the Pesach Tshuva coming to life. You're allowed to buy, just as the Pesach Tshuva says, you're allowed to wash Big Day Zeya, so if you don't have anything to wear, you're allowed to buy Big Day Zeya. And then I remember I bought myself a pair of sneakers. I had to buy Tisha B'Av sneakers. So that's where Moshe writes that nidig, that the Shulchan Aruch writes, I shouldn't buy new clothing during the 9 days. So Moshe writes that doesn't apply. Dafka the Tisha B'Av sneakers. If the guy realizes they have Tisha B'Av, he doesn't have sneakers. Moshe says you can buy sneakers, because the whole issur is it shouldn't lead to simcha. You're buying sneakers. If I buy sneakers to sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av, that's not a violation of this minhag. So that's what I did. So I bought myself sneakers, and I bought myself underwear and undershirts and whatever I needed for the next 2 days to hold me over until I got back. So I had to quote unquote violate that minhag in Shulchan Aruch, but it's based on this Pesach Tshuva and Uchas Avelos that I thought that would be perfectly okay. I had no svarim in Munich to check, to take a look, to see what anyone else had to say. I had to go on my own recollection of what it says in Pesach Tshuva, tucked away. Anyway, getting back to the story. Yeah, we assume that's also it's also called freshly washed. The Ramah writes that you should have somebody put it on. The Ramah in Hilchos Avelos, and the extension in Hilchos the 9 days, someone should try it on for a little bit of time. So the poskim have different lashonos, how long is a little bit of time? So some poskim use a phrase, shor, achzashtai, 1 or 2 hours. The minig is to be a little bit more mekel, 1 or 2 minutes. When you're stuck, 1 or 2 seconds ends. So I'm able to have shir, so I have to give an exact shir. Some posts can say if you didn't get dry eyes, run onto the floor a little bit, mop up the floor a little bit, but a little bit, it's also considered to be okay. I remember I once got into a disagreement with somebody in Eretz Yisrael about whether I could ask a Sephardi to put it on, because the Sephardim don't observe the minig of the 9 days. They only start with the end of the Gemara, of Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. So if you forgot to put on your clothing before the 9 days, can you ask a Sephardi to do it? So I thought that was okay. What's the big deal? Somebody got so upset. They thought that was wrong. Or should look at it. I don't know what the big deal was. I thought the whole thing is not a minig anyway. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So if...
Shabbos clothes.
Well, we're going to get Shabbos clothes. So no matter how you slice this kibbutz and gilts and the big dizayas and all these stories from Avelos, once shloshim is over, it sounds like pretty much the whole story is over. It sounds like it shouldn't be too much to be problematic after shloshim. So the Ramah throws two minhagim at us at the end of this discussion about what the ikar dinim was, and the Ramah says two minhagim about not to do in terms of clothing for the entire duration of the Yud Beis Chodesh. You know that Yud Beis Chodesh obviously only applies for a parent. There are certain limited things that you're not allowed to do for Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Ramah writes that there's a minig in the Ashkenazi community, twofold. So number one, he writes, the minig is not to wear new clothing for the entire Yud Beis Chodesh. Then the Ramah writes, there's a minig not to wear Shabbos clothes for the entire Yud Beis Chodesh. So what exactly is the status of these two minhagim lahalacha b'zman hazeh? So when it comes to the minig of not wearing new clothing, so we recommend people to try to follow it. But again, this minig is not an absolute written in stone. Person, as Henry said correctly, someone says covered abrias. So guys, one suit, the suit's ripped. Guys got one shirt. He got to kick the stain out. So the post came right. Whenever this is a shas al chak, whenever it's really necessary, a person mamish needs something. So then this minig doesn't apply. The stomach in Europe, the standards of clothing. People didn't buy clothing that often anyway, so they tell a guy not to buy clothing for a year. It's nishkefelach. As man said, it's very, very hard to observe this minig in its full sense.
When I remember reading Rosh Hashanah's Sfarim, it was like in the '70s, the blue thing. So would you say 50 years later, 40 years later, the standardization?
Yeah. It could be. I mean, if you buy things more often, okay. So what I always tell people when they ask me about this minig, I say, listen, whatever you don't have to buy, don't buy. This is not the time to go buy something, a fancy new suit or something. I say, whatever you need, a guy needs for work, he needs basic necessity, so I think it's perfectly okay. Then there are Moth Rose, this other minig, it's not to wear Shabbos clothes. Guys walk into shul with the weekday clothes the whole year. So this is the Ramah L'Shitasa. The Ramah Nuchas Tishmof writes the same thing on Shabbos Chazon. The Ramah writes that one is not supposed to wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. So in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, so the many posts can point out that we shouldn't follow this minig of the Ramon. In fact, that minig is not like the Ramon Hilchos Tisha B'Av. It said over in the name of the Gra, that the Gra thought that was not a correct minig to Meisir Rav. It says the Gra wore regular Shabbos clothes and Shabbos Chazon. What exactly is in the Kudus of Machlek is why is it that Ramah is letting you wear weekday clothing? He's encouraging you to wear weekday clothing on Shabbos Chazon. He's encouraging you to wear weekday clothing during the whole year of Avelos. Nobody follows this Ramah in Avelos. Nobody follows this Ramah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So the Birkei Yosef and the sides of the Yerideh point, I'm saying the Yosef points out that others later Ramah also point out that this really depends in a certain sense if you've been in Hamachom in the following sense, that we know that the guidelines for Avelos and Shabbos are Avelos b'Fahesia versus Avelos shebitzina. Avelos b'Fahesia, public demonstrations of Avelos are also run Shabbos. Private Avelos is supposed to be, mandated to be done on Shabbos. Very often you find there are differences of what's called for Hesia, what's called Tzina, depending on what the Minig HaMochom is. I think we quoted before in the name of Rav Haigon writes already a thousand years ago, Rav Haigon writes that there were two different minhagim about whether an Avel should go to shul on Shabbos. Normally an Avel doesn't leave in the Pesach Beiso. So does that Isser apply on Shabbos or not? So Rav Haigon writes that there were different minhagim about this. Some held that an Avel should go to shul and some held that an Avel shouldn't go to shul. What's the issue? So Rav Haigon says it's not a machlokes. It depends on the size of the shul. He says if you live in a community with 1,000 people in shul, so no one's going to know whether you're there or not. So they don't think you went to the Shkamin, you think you went to the Lake Minyan. No one's going to realize that you were not in shul. So that's a tzinah. So therefore, it's a fellowship of tzinah. You shouldn't leave your house, just stay home. But if you daven in a little shtibul, 15 people, and everyone's going to realize you're not there for the following reason, because you're in a velos, so then it's yitachem mechuyv to go to shul. It would be a violation of a velos for hesya. So you see already from the Ga'anim, from Haigon's time, that the definition of a velos for hesya is going to change according to the time and place, whatever the norm of that place is. That's what the later Acharedim write, that if you live in a place where people are very poor, and not everybody has Shabbos clothing, So it's not inconceivable that a person walks into shul, even not in a velus, Nebuchadnezzar, he doesn't have clothing, he's wearing his workday clothes, and Nebuchadnezzar has nothing else to wear. So if a person walks into shul on Yibes Chodesh wearing weekday clothing, no one's going to think, oh, that guy's in a velus. They're going to think, Nebuchadnezzar, the guy doesn't have any money for a new suit. So that won't be an avelus before Hesia. But if you live in a place where Baruch Hashem, everyone can afford Shabbos clothing, so of course everyone's wearing Shabbos clothing. One guy's going to walk to shul in the middle of a Yud Beis Chodesh wearing a weekday suit, wearing his weekday his jeans, whatever, so then that's going to be a big avelus before Hesia. So therefore it's considered to be a problem. So it's not a machloikis. It's a machloikis to Ramon de Gros. It's Metzias. It depends whatever the Metzias is. You see, obviously, from all these poskim that it wasn't anyone's das, nobody even a havamina, that a guy's going to walk into shul on Shabbos wearing weekday clothing for any other reason. The only possible justifications are either because he's Nebuchadnezzar Avelos, or because Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have any money. No one said, no, the reason he's wearing weekday clothing is because he just came back from the park. That wasn't in the Bricha Yosef's mindset. So, because that's a din deraisa, we pointed out many times. The Teres Kohanim writes in the Pasuk, Mikra Kodesh, what does Mikra Kodesh mean? So the Teres Kohanim says Mikra Kodesh means you have to have special food on Shabbos and you have to have special clothing on Shabbos. If a person wears weekday clothing on Shabbos, so that's a bitul mitzvah deraisa of Mikra Kodesh. I've told over the story about, I remember years ago, when I was living in Riverdale. I was standing next to Rabbi Willig, and someone came to ask him a shaila about they wanted to get from one place to another on Shabbos. A whole complicated story. Getting on the Long Island Railroad, they had to be in a certain place, an emergency Shabbos. So they wanted to pay in advance and get onto the railroad. Was it going to be Chutzat Chol? The whole Chagad, you had to travel on the Long Island Railroad on Shabbos. So Rabbi Willig said he thought it was a terrible marasayin to see if one person get onto a train on Shabbos. It was a terrible, terrible marasayin. So the person said, no, I'm not going to dress from. I'm going to wear my jeans, I'm going to put my baseball cap, no one's going to even know who I am. There won't be any marasayin whatsoever. Whether that's a good svar or not a marasayin, it's a different story. So at the time, when I was talking to Rabbi Willig afterwards, so we both came to the same conclusion. We said that the biggest isser that was involved in this discussion was the wearing the baseball cap and the jeans. I said, the getting onto the train is probably not so terrible. There's no tchumen problem in the middle of the chol. I said, but the deliberately getting dressed up like a weekday, so that's a bitul mitzvah deraisa, mikra kodesh. So you have to ask her because of that. Can you imagine? That's how the word spreads. The rabbi said, going on the train on Shabbos is okay, but wearing a baseball cap on Shabbos is awesome in a Torah. That's the way it is. Can I tell it? Call him like you see him. Baseball. Lemaisa, our minig has become not like this Ramon. Neither in Hilchos Avelus nor in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. The minig is that Avelim wear regular clothing, even during Shiva. Avel wears regular Shabbos clothes. Obviously, he doesn't wear his Kriyan. And we assume that otherwise, do anything otherwise would be a violation of Avelus for Hesia. So now that we've kind of bridged into the Shloshim, so we move into the next Isser of Shloshim, and that's the Isser of Tispiris, the Isser of cutting one's hair. Actually, the source for the Isser of Tispiris is actually yesterday's Kriyas Torah, maybe, depending on what the Gemara means. The Gemara in the Maseches Berakhot quotes the Pasuk from Parsha Shmini as the source that an Ovel is not permitted to cut his hair during Shloshim, because the Pasuk says by Bnei Aaron, Moshechem al Tifro, Vigdechem al Tifromu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Bnei Aaron, to Aaron and the sons, now that you're in Avelos, so then you have to be careful the following. Don't do Rasheichem al Tifro, Vigdechem al Tifro. Don't rip your clothes. Don't rip your clothes. Why is all of a sudden the Rebbe Shalom saying don't rip your clothes? So the implication is that a normal Ovel would rip his clothes. So the Rebbe Shalom saying you're not allowed to rip your clothes because you're Kohanim, you're Shem Hamish Chaleichem, the Miluim, the Chalukas Hamikdash. So you're not allowed to rip your clothes. The implication is that a regular Ovel is supposed to rip his clothes. The Gemara says from here we learn that an Ovel is Mukhrif to do Kriya. It's one of the sources for Kriya. Then the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Lo Sifro, don't let your hair grow wild. So what does it mean, don't let your hair grow wild? So the Gemara says the word para. We have a tradition that the word para refers to 30 days. That means Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to them, don't let your hair grow wild for more than 30 days. In other words, take care of yourselves. You have to look right. You're the Kohanim, you're Shevet HaMishchah. You can't look like a mess. Why is the Baruch Hu telling this to them now? The answer is because a regular Avel would have to keep his hair to go wild. Because a regular Avel is not allowed to get a haircut for Shloshim Yom. Because the word para refers to 30 days. How in the world do you know para means 30 days? Oh, that's from Nazir. It says, Gadel para sa'arashay. Says that a Nazir has to grow his hair wild. Gadel Paris Arosha. I just had a shaila, just over Pesach, right before Pesach, I had a Nazir shaila. A guy, Mamish, a rabbi called me, that he has a balabos of his, a bal tshuva, who's a little very spiritual kind of guy, he decided to become a Nazir. And Mamish accepted upon himself Nazirus. The guy's has gotten a haircut in ages. I don't know what he's doing about dollar cases at the state. I don't know. That wasn't what they called me. And Mamish has been a Nazir for a couple of months. I don't know how long. And now I think the guy is starting to get on him a little bit. So I think he wants to stop. So he wanted to be Matan Neder. So I couldn't believe it. I said, we say I feel Nazir Shim, we say I feel Nazir, so I feel Nazir Shimshon maybe. Chutz be Nazir Shimshon. I said, it was the first time I had Paskin, a real live Nazir Shala. So I remember I'm talking on the phone, and I'm saying, did you really want to become a Nazir? If you would have known, I was doing that Tarzan up for a Nazir. So I'm on the thing. It's strange. Anyway, so the Gemara says that how do you know that a Nazir has to be at least for 30 days? Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. A guy wants to be another for 20 years, but how do you know that Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom? So the Gemara says, it says, Gadel Peres Arosho, and it says Kadosh Yia. It says that a Nazir has to be Kadosh Yia, and Yia Begematria is 30. The Gemara says, that is Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. So this is a very, very strange Mokhar. The Pashas in the Gemara is that this is really a halacha Moshe Messina. We generally don't learn a dinim from Gematrios. That's what the Mepharshim said in Pekayavos, when it says that Kufusim Gematrios are Paparos L'Chochma. It means they added nice, cute little dessert at the end of the meal. We learn halachas from drushas, from real dinim, from real svaras deraisa. Gematrios are nice for the mitzvah drusha, but you don't want to learn dinim from them. So when the Gemara learns out this din from Kadashi, it's probably not a real drusha. It probably means it's halacha Moshe Messina, whatever it is. But Lamaisa, the Gemara does say in Moikotan that based on the Lashon Para, that for 30 days an Ovel is not permitted to get a haircut. So Bnei Aaron had to get haircuts within 30 days, but a regular Ovel is not permitted to do so. Is this a real Din D'Araisa? That's a Machlekes Rishab. So the Ravid is quoted by the Rosh in Moikotan saying that these Yisurim Imam Shinim D'Araisa, Kriya and Kriya, all these Dinim that are of Shloshim, available, whatever they mentioned in the Pasuk, is Mamash Adiraisa, and other Rishayim say it's not true. These are all Asmachtas Bi'am. The whole Avelis is Dirabon, Shiva is Dirabon, Yamechar is Dirabon, everything is Dirabon, Shleshim is Dirabon, also. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ovel that even though Shleshim is really Midrabanon, but Rem is Yesh B'Torah. The Torah does recognize the idea of 30 days as being a time, as it says in Pashuk Seitzi, Uvachsa Saviv Yasima Yerach Yom. It says that the Eishes Yivas Toyer are supposed to cry for a father and for a mother for 30 days. So even though, obviously, that wasn't really available, it's a Goyisha woman, we're not learning dinim from the Eishes Yivas Toyer, but the Ram says, you see that was Kachi Minaka Oilam, that's the Darkish Oilam, that for a month is supposed to be observed of Zashtekal Avelos. So whether it's a Din D'Raisa, Din D'Rabbanan, the Vaisa, the Din is that an Ovel for 30 days is not permitted to get a haircut. Then the Gemara says that Chazal added on, that when you have someone who's an Ovel for Ovel V'Imo, so not only is he not allowed to get a haircut for 30 days, but he's not allowed to get a haircut even past 30 days, until he reaches the point where he looks like such a mess that people tell him, go get a haircut, you look like a wreck. So that's an added, that's of course only true by Ovel V'Imo. So this Isser of Tispirus, with the added dimension of Achigar B'Chaverov, so this is, of course, the most common challenge that we have. For regular Ovel, very rarely has any shilas. In a month, most people don't get haircuts anyway for a month. Well, it's usually not so relevant. But for Ovel V'Imo, when the Issa becomes much, much longer, so this is where all the shilas come about. What's considered to be? At what point do we say a person has reached the point of Echigar B'Chaverov? So the Bukhi Yosef, and the notes Yeredeya points out that he thinks that the phrase that Echigar B'Chaverov is lav dafka, it doesn't mean that somebody literally comes and rebukes you and says you look like a mess. He says it's just a way of measuring. You know, people are generally polite, so people are sensitive. They don't want to tell you look like a mess. But if they would have told you that you look like a mess, and then at what point would if they would have been so polite? At what point would a person tell you to go get a haircut? So once you reach that point, then you don't have to wait for a literal physical Echigar B'Chaverov. One could argue that a person's greatest friend is their wife. So Echigar B'Chaverov means usually a wife will tell you. She's also very polite, but she's also very straightforward if you look like a mess. So once a person reaches that point, so then they were permitted to get a haircut.
So as far as a woman, as far as...
There's also within the Echigar B'Chaverov, yeah.
When it comes to hair, is it just, do you base it on the health of a man and their...
When a man would tell, when her husband would tell her that she's also looking, not so nice. That's also such a Echigar B'Chaverov. when we speak about the Issa being at Chigar B'Chaveira, what does that mean? Does that mean that the clock starts again each time? So the person looks messy after a couple of weeks, a couple of months. So they get a haircut, and now they have to wait again to, another time? Okay. Yeshua has arrived. The allergy pills have come. So fighting chance. So do we say that each time the clock starts over again? So the person looked like a mess, they got a haircut, now they got to start again. Wait another couple of weeks, couple of months in order to start getting a haircut again. So that was a big machlekes ha'poskim. So it's a strange thing because we tend to be very makil in Hilchos Avelos, and yet here Rabbi Shira writes in a tshuva that he thinks the more correct thing to do is to be machmer. That one should always start the clock over again on that Shigar B'Chaveira. So notwithstanding the tshuva of Rabbi Shira, many others are makil. They point out that Rosh Hashanah Beredi, that Ritva, that's makil, that Shigar B'Chaveira means that once you reach it, then it's over, then it's done. But most people today rely on that, that Shigar B'Chaveira means once you hit it one time, then it's over. When does this, it comes up both for haircuts and in terms and for shaving as well. So when it comes to haircuts, the question is there any kind of objective time? Is there any kind of a time on the calendar that we could put on in terms of saying the person reached Achigar B'Chaveira? So the poskim start pilpling with 3 months. You know, the numbers, these somewhat arbitrary numbers as to what's considered to be Achigar B'Chaveira. Again, it's very hard to put an exact number on this. Again, the norms change also. People probably get haircuts more often than they got in Eastern Europe. So things are going to change in terms of that as well. Where the greatest change probably comes in is in terms of shavings. That's what the poskim write. That if you have a person has a beard, so then if you don't trim the beard for a little while, it's not going to look so terrible. But I mean, after some time, it's going to look terrible. If a person doesn't have a beard, so actually Gabba Chaveiro is going to be after 3 days, it's going to be actually Gabba Chaveiro. The only problem is that for Shloshim, it's also Lagamri. So Shloshim is not even a Shiloh. That even if you are actually Gabba Chaveiro, it's not going to help. So basically, if a person has to observe the entire Shloshim, and then after Shloshim is over, so then they have to ask yourself the question, did they reach the point of Achigar B'Chaveira or not? So when it comes to haircuts, you probably have to wait longer than that. When it comes to shaving, the person shaves every day. We assume that after 30 days, you for sure look like a mess, and then you're permitted to shave right away. So, but usually what it translates to mean is that a person shaves every day, as soon as Shloshim is over, so they shave even though they're available for parents. Now the question is, does the clock restart? Are they allowed to shave regularly every single day? Or do you say they have to wait 3-4 days until they look like a mess again? So that depends on that shaila. So since we tend to be making on that also, it turns around by saying, it basically translates to mean that after Shloshim everything's mutter. That's what the minig is. Most of our communities, the people who are clean shaven, so as soon as Shloshim is over, they shave, and then they shave every day, and nobody asks any questions anymore. They assume that they've reached the point of Achigar B'Chaveira. But again, it's not partial like that. There was some poskim will mach when each time the clock starts again, but the minig generally is not that way. This idea of Achigar B'Chaveira, for people who shave being accomplished immediately, so this is of course the source for the famous Psach of the Rav about Tzvir Sa'omer, about the 3 weeks, where the Rav's opinion was that the Avelos of the 3 weeks and the Avelos of Tzvir Sa'omer are basically patterned after Yud Beis Chodesh. Therefore, they're bound by the rules of Achigar B'Chaveira. What does that mean practically? So a guy gets a haircut at Pesach, so he can last for a few weeks. Doesn't look so terrible. So he can last it out for a few weeks. But if a person shaves at Pesach, by the time Chol Moed's over for sure, the person's going to look like a wreck. So the Rav thought that if a person looks messy, Achigar B'Chaveira kicks in, so you're permitted to shave right away. For the person, again, who shaves all the time. Others disagree with the Rav. Revelation. Others tell that equation that the minig of Svi or the minig of the 3 weeks is like Yud Beis Chodesh. Not necessarily true. Maybe it's more chomer than Yud Beis Chodesh. Maybe it's different than Yud Beis Chodesh. Maybe it has the minig has a life in and of itself in terms of what patterns it follows. So those who don't shave during Svira were not buying into that Shtibul Torah. They were assuming that. So what? It's actually going to be a mazma. So it's still going to be a problem. So again, there's a different sources for different minhagim, but the Rav's the famous Torah about Achigar B'Chaveira is really just an extension of this din of Hilchos Avelos.
Once you're allowed to shave, you're allowed to go back to a clean shaving state. Maybe you can just trim.
I mean, those relying on the stomach. Once you say that Achigar B'Chaveira is a matir, so then stomach everything's matir. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, someone was asking me the other day that they had to shave for work, but they felt that they only had to shave their neck area for work. They didn't have to shave the whole beard off. Like Rebbe Shurin, they want to know, hold, they're ready shaving for this, so can they shave the whole thing? it's very hard to say Torah is in Tiferes Ayurim. The whole thing is up in the air. It's hard to say Torah. According to the Rav's Mahalach, so the whole thing is Mutter, is an extension of the set of Ashi Gav Chaverov. Those who disagree with the Rav's application, because they held that Ashi Gav Chaverov is not the factor in terms of the Midhagim, or Dinim, whatever you want to call it, in terms of this. I'm hoping that's Shema. Next week, we'll try to just finish up this issue about Tiferes Ayurim as it relates to the shaving, and then we'll move on to other areas.
Thank you.